Live from Western Kentucky University, capital of the Hilltopper Nation. Whether it's in the locker room or on the field, behind the clipboard or on the court, home or away, we've got you covered. Get ready to enter the Red Zone, your destination for all things sports, right here on Revolution 91.7.
And welcome in this week's edition of Red Zone Radio on Revolution 91.7. I'm your host for the night, Caden Gaylord Day, and sitting here with me is my boys Ryan Gooden, Nick Brake, Mike Stamper, Will Gerber, Mac Grisano, and a new addition to the team, Mr. Mason Fletcher. Fellas, how are you doing today?
You struggled through that, huh?
Hey, man, I had to think about it. I was like, wait, because people changing last names, different people on the show. It's just a blunder.
I'm all right. I know everybody's excited to talk about college basketball. I'm sure we've got a few things to talk about before that, but it's good to be back.
I'm in my personal, I can't say that word, I guess, on there. I'm in a personal bad space due to this Final Four coming up, but I'm excited to talk about
way
it.
Way to censor yourself.
I think I can say that word.
Hey,
maybe not.
Hey, Caden.
Here
you
go.
If you have to think about it, you probably can't. Go ahead, Nick.
I was told that Caden always wins the bracket challenge.
I don't know.
Usually I do, but Nick won this year because he has three teams in the Final Four. Thanks for spoiling it.
Who's your third?
Thanks,
North Carolina.
He had Villanova. Thanks for spoiling it, Nick.
Jeez, Nick. Yeah,
I mean,
thanks.
Goodness
That's
gracious.
The whole show. All right, good night.
But yeah, man. Spoiler: Nick won the bracket challenge this year. Congrats, Nick. We'll just go ahead and give you a clap. Go ahead.
Hey.
Good job.
I don't see Will. Will's not clapping. Will.
No.
It was just me, Nick, and Mac left. Mac still has Kansas in, but obviously Nick has three of the four. So
points.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just.
Oh, that's assuming North Carolina wins.
Unless Kansas wins the whole thing.
No, you still don't win.
Because you still don't win.
Well, if I get the winner, I'm still counting that.
It's not who wins.
I'm still counting it.
Well, you didn't
you
even play anyway.
You also auto-draft.
Yeah, Mr. Auto-draft.
So you also won't win in points and or you didn't win at all because you didn't draft. So,
well, yeah, man, we got a long show ahead of you. I know we're starting a little early here today. Not our fault. Anyways, we'll just go ahead and get right into it. WKU softball and baseball. Yeah. The
Kate's favorite topic.
Excited.
The softball team is currently 22-7 overall. They're 6-3 in the conference. I'll just go through a little brief overall view of what they've done so far this season. They went on a 12-game win streak before losing to Ole Miss at the beginning of March. They won their series against 24th-ranked Charlotte. They won that 2-1. And they've lost three of the last four, including against 10th-ranked Arkansas, who came into here. You know, I'm not even mad at them for losing these games because if you look at this list of games that they lost, it's against stiff competition. And that's what they need going into postseason play. I mean, you can look at who they have to face against the Conference USA. They're predicted to finish first. I mean, they're sitting atop of the conference right now anyways. So the fact that they're going up against ranked teams constantly or teams that are in Power 5 conferences, I'm not mad that they're losing these games at all. It's a good practice for what they're going to have to face once they get down the road.
And if you think about it, this is – you know, Western Kentucky is not known for playing Power 5 conferences. Usually, if you get one or two on the schedule, it's good. This softball team is doing the right thing by scheduling these hard opponents like in Arkansas. Like, I know it's in conference, but Charlotte is ranked 24th.
They played Ole Miss twice, Texas A&M. Yeah.
Right, it helps
I think
you.
They play UK, and then they play Alabama at home.
Yeah, so it helps you down the road. I mean, we talk about it all the time. You can't just play your conference and expect to be good by the time you get to postseason play. So this will help them in the long run, whether they lose or win. Getting these games on your belt really helps you in the long run.
Unless they're like the WK basketball team and win these games and then, you know.
Yeah, but
even
the basketball team, they have one or two big games a year, whether that be – and this year it was Louisville, who was terrible.
An old man.
So, like
– but all for nothing, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, so playing – whether they're good at the time or good at the end of the season, it's a different conversation, but – getting these games under your belt really helps. And Amy Tudor's doing a great job with this program.
Oh, absolutely.
So kind of doing what volleyball does. Volleyball tries to play teams that are
But even volleyball doesn't
teams.
Have this many.
No.
Well,
part
it's because
of,
people are scared
with volleyball,
to play
People
volleyball.
Don't want
to
play
Yeah,
us.
They're scared
They
to
don't
play.
Gain anything from it.
But yeah.
I suppose.
Taylor Davis leads the team in batting percentage, hitting a .457. Transfer Bailey Curry leads the team in home runs with 6 and 26 RBIs on the season so far. Like I said, WKU is picked to finish first in the East in the preseason poll. Is them and North Texas. I think they're the only two teams who have less than 10 losses right now. Maybe one other team.
I know you don't follow baseball, softball. In 30 games, hitting .467 is the most insane stat I've seen in a while.
Well, here's the thing about Taylor Davis. She bunts a lot because she's faster than everybody else on the field. And so because she bunts a lot, she gets the first base pretty easily. So that's why it's so high.
Okay. Is she lefty, I assume? Is it that slap bunt type deal?
I think she's righty. She might be lefty. Let me check.
Sorry, I didn't throw a bad question out there, but like that's just ball. You see that a lot in softball,
one. It was either T.J. Webster or Taylor Davis had a double on a bunt one time.
I mean, that's impressive.
Part of it being fast, but they hit it. They placed it in the right spot. I think whoever they were playing had a shift on.
Plus, it's part being fast, and then the other team just not playing well or. Like a bad shift.
And that's what I love about softball. It's so fast-paced. Like, you don't see that in baseball. You don't see somebody getting on first constantly off of a bunt. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's always been one of the leaders on this team. You had to think coming into the season who was going to replace the Kennedy Sullivan production on this team, and it seems like they're doing that pretty well so far. So,
and they're not like I've watched them a few times, and they're relatively fun to watch. I know softball, baseball can be boring sports.
Softball's way better than
and
baseball.
They're fast. Yeah. Like, they move quickly. Both pitchers are very efficient, and, I mean, I think it's pretty fun. You should go to a game sometime and maybe catch them against Alabama. Alabama will probably whoop us, but
you never know.
It's a midweek game, so.
Softball is so much – like, baseball and softball, it's not like basketball where – the better team is usually supposed to win. I mean, the WKU baseball team, we'll talk about in a minute, but they went down and they beat Kentucky.
Well, and you know why? Because WKU, when we play a team like that, we have our best person on the mound. They don't.
Yeah.
You know, there's six or seven in the bullpen.
Right, yeah.
So that's why. And then if our bats are hot, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and that's usually Western's mantra. They just can't pitch usually.
Well, and then that's why I bet doing a committee for the NCAA tournament, I don't know how that works, but I bet that's just a headache because, bad losses, how the heck, can you look into that? It's just a cumulative record, probably.
They probably base it off of preseason rankings than any other sport does.
I think it's like, if it's not if you have one or two, it's if you have a collective amount because you play so many midweek games. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have like last year, Louisville every week lost that midweek game. They were losing to Morehead State, Murray State, Western Kentucky. And that's what took them out of the NCAA tournament. So I think that's what they look at.
You think they look at run differential at all as a factor?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
They might. I think pitching is the main thing they could probably look at because, bats can get hot.
If that's the case, then.
Then Western's no shot.
Don't ever look at WKU.
They never will because Western doesn't address pitching. And I'm talking about baseball more than softball, obviously, but. I don't know if you want to transition
I was going to say real quick, this softball team, they should make the NCAA tournament again this year. I mean, last year they made it. They lost to Georgia in the first game, beat UNC Greensboro in the second game, and then lost to ranked Duke in the third game. So, I mean, obviously they're scheduling these hard teams as a preview of what that tournament is going to be like. So I continue to watch them, play these hard games, play hard teams. They play FIU on Friday at 6 p.m. and it's Military Appreciation Weekend and Fan Friday, so show out for that one. Transitioning over to baseball on the other side of
there was one NCAA tournament team present.
What'd you say, Will?
There was one NCAA team present this weekend. It's Southern Miss was good.
Southern Miss is a great baseball team in this conference. We'll get into that here in a second, but WK was 9-14. I'm pretty sure they lost today.
Yeah, they did.
Let me pull up that score real quick.
11-0.
I put that they were.
At least it looked showing. At least it looked good aesthetically.
9-14 after getting swept by Southern Miss this weekend. They've lost 7 of their last 8 games. Like Will said, they lost today 11-0. I believe that was the score after the fourth inning.
Yeah.
This team, we do this every year with this team. They can hit the ball, but the pitching is terrible. And obviously, when you don't score at all in the game, you're not going to win. I mean, this team, I know that sounded very bad, but you know what I'm trying to say.
I mean, it's like it's simple, though. It's like if you're playing basketball and you don't score the ball, you're not going to win. That's just how it works. In baseball, if you don't get a run, hey, good chances are you're not going to win. But in baseball, it's more important to pitch. We've kind of harped on it almost too much now, but it's so bad because bats like I said, they get hot, but they can't stay that way. You can't score 8 runs a game and keep that over a season. You have to be able to have some pitcher or an ace at least that gets
pitching
you
wins World Series
to have at least like under a 4 ERA. I don't even know if Western's ever had that in the last
wait till I get to that ERA stat here in a second.
To be under 4 in college, like, you know, MLB pitchers, they'll be lucky to get under 3. That's a great year. And ERA is not everything, obviously, because, you know, fielding is a part of it too. But Western's pitching has been the downfall of this team for the last 4 years since I've been here, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you would think after, like that, like we said, they beat UK 7-5 in Lexington. That was UK's first loss of the season. Western handed them their first loss of the season. And you would think that would be like a stepping stone for this team, but it's like they regressed. They lost to EKU. They lost to Evansville last week. I mean, this team's supposed to be improving every year, but it doesn't seem to happen. And it's just like John Palawski got an extension this past semester?
Yeah.
And he's extended all the way through to 2026, I believe.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah.
He's not well-liked.
This year, I don't think by anybody, really.
No.
Like, I'm not in nothing against him, obviously. We talk about coaches all the time on who should be here and who shouldn't. And I don't know anybody outside of him that could be better because I don't know the college baseball coaching carousel like I do the basketball one. But, yeah, it was mind-boggling to see after so many mediocre seasons for him to get extended till 4 more years.
And baseball, the problem with baseball, it's a lot like football. You've got Southern schools that are going to rule the game, and that's how it's going to be. And then you've got a few Northern powers. Other than that, it's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, but
like,
also,
Kentucky's never going to be that team in baseball.
Well, they got pretty far a couple years
I mean, they're
going
to have years. You're going to have years, but you're never going to be – like, it's remarkable that Louisville is able to do what they do almost every year. But, like, I mean, like the ACC, you don't want to go to – I want to go to Clemson. I don't really want to go up to Louisville. I want to play in the South. You want to play where the weather's nice.
I was going to say, it's cold up there.
But, yeah, Ty Bottasich leads the teams with a .365 hitting percentage. Yes, leads them with also 7 home runs and 24 RBIs. He's only a freshman, okay? So, he's got a long time here. He kind of reminds me of Jake Sanford. Whenever Jake Sanford stepped up to the mound – a few years ago, you knew he was going to hit that ball far. So, I mean, at least in that perspective, he's something positive about this team that they can take a long way. Like I said about the ERA, 10 pitchers have an ERA over 4 on this team, and the average is 5.64. That's not good.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
That's not good.
And like we said, ERA is not everything. You have other, you know, stats in there like WHIP and all these things. We won't get into all that. But the main byproduct is this team cannot pitch. And pitch well. And if you get hit a lot, there's only so much your infield / outfield can do. And I don't know what the answer is for this team. I mean, they produce hitters nonstop every year. You would think at some point there would be a shift in mind change of, hey, let's go recruit better pitchers. And I'm sure it's a lot easier said than done, but it's been the same rinse cycle repeat for the last 4 years.
There was a guy that pitched yesterday. He's a redshirt freshman, I think, and he looked pretty good. He gave up a home run or two. That's one bad pitch. That's you throw one or two
and
bad
that's
pitches.
Not, yeah,
and that was promising to see because that's been the biggest problem is they haven't been able to find a bullpen guy. Because like Evansville, you had a lead going late in the game. EKU had a lead going late in the game. So I think that's been their biggest kryptonite this season.
Well, not only that, but there's never been an ace that I'm excited to go see get on the mound, and that's a problem. Usually you have at least one guy that can go out there and at least keep the opponent under 3 runs, and that's all you're looking for. Because with this team, bats can get hot real quick, and you have hitters constantly playing well that you can get over 5 runs a game, but it's very hard to do when your pitcher's letting up 8 or 5, whatever it was, 5.6.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've lost 6 in a row. They're currently in last place in the rankings. They were they predicted to finish 9th in the league, so we'll see how it goes. They play Louisville this week, Tuesday at 5. It's always that midweek game for them. It's either Louisville or Vanderbilt every other year.
Yeah.
So they have a chance because they do pretty well in those games every year. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, they play Louisville at 5 here in Bowling Green on the Hill. So make sure to show up for that one. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, NCAA tournament time. You're listening to Red Zone Radio on Revolution 91.7.
Keeping you up to date on Western Kentucky sports, you're in the Red Zone right here on Revolution 91.7.
I just wanted to know what those lyrics were, because I've never really heard the song all the way
awful.
Through.
The 2000s are in the past, thankfully.
What do you mean?
Awful era for music.
It depends on what kind of music you're talking about.
I mean, Avril Lavigne, she was GOAT.
That's not the music I was like. About.
I mean, that's what I thought he was talking about.
The GOATs of the decade, Green the Avett Brothers.
Oh, Lord. Anyways, here we go. Red Zone Radio, Revolution 91.7. The Sweet 16 happened a few days ago, or this past week, whatever it was.
It's been a blur.
We'll just go through all the scores and we'll talk about it whenever we want to stop. So first, Arkansas beat Gonzaga 74-68. Predictable. It's Gonzaga. They do this every year. We'll talk about it in a second. Villanova beat Michigan 63-55. Sorry, Mike. Duke beat Texas Tech 78-73. Houston beat Arizona 72-60. Excuse me. St. Peter's 67-64 over Purdue. Kansas 66 over Providence 61. North Carolina 71-66 over UCLA. And Miami 70-56 over Iowa State. So where do we want to start first? Gonzaga?
Yeah, we can start there. I mean, it's the most important. And, you know, you said it was predictable. I think what you meant to say was Gonzaga losing is more predictable. Because I didn't expect them to lose to Arkansas, who is undersized compared to Gonzaga.
Well, it helps when you throw out Chet, practically. And don't let him play.
Okay, the foul calls. Yes, we can talk. But they were
so that helps. That helps make up for your size when the guy can't play.
You could blame the fouls, but Gonzaga has not been playing well since they started the NCAA tournament.
Well, they've had
this loss was inevitable.
They've had slow starts.
Slow starts is an understatement. They should have lost that first game. They were just playing a 16 seed. They should have lost to Memphis. Memphis just is Memphis, and then Arkansas finally beat them.
Yeah.
Well, you thought it was...
This was not a team that was primed to win the national championship.
Well, not that anybody was coming in here saying that, but I think Memphis matched up well, and this entire tournament is about matchups. Right. I mean, you saw it today.
Well, Memphis was better than what they were seeded. They just weren't healthy all year. Once they were healthy, they were much better than an 8
seed. They had a very rough... Healthy. They had a very rough few months there. I mean, people were talking about... I think they were healthy. They were just losing games.
Yeah. No, they had... their center, Durham, was out for the beginning of the season, and then Imani Bates gets hurt. So, but they were actually together for the first time, basically in the tournament.
I would say hurt is an understatement. He was hurt emotionally more than he was physically.
But this is what I say about Gonzaga. Like I said last year, was their one chance to win the national championship, they folded. They folded. Yeah. And this year, I mean, what do we expect from Gonzaga at this point? I mean – They're going to do this every time. They're going to get far or semi-decently far, and they're going to fold like they do every single year.
I mean, I think
year.
It's hard to – I mean, they make it far, so it's like you're punishing them for not winning the title. But a lot of these great coaches only have one title.
No,
so
but
a
I'm,
lot of teams
I'm punishing them for being consistently ranked number one every single year and then folding every single year when they're not supposed to. That's what I'm punishing them for.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, well, what? Kentucky fan talking
about
folding.
Bro, why are we talking? Nobody's talking about Kentucky right now. You're Kentucky and a Duke fan.
Listen,
that makes no sense.
A, I'm not. I support both of them.
Just said you're both a fan
of
both.
Oh, this is hard to do when you're Caden. But you think it's easy to just go and win a national championship?
Did I say that?
It's hard.
Part of the problem with Gonzaga is that it's not that they're getting to the tournament. They've got a one seed most years. They're one of the one seeds. And one seeds have it. Not easier, but they should have it easier to the Final Four.
Nothing's easy in this tournament, though.
I'm not saying it's easy,
it's
but
all
like on paper.
It's a coin flip.
And also, I think they've made like the
and you
last
get to a point.
Sweet
it's
eight,
been
slick,
15 years
so
now.
So it's not like they lose immediately.
Elite. All right, one at a time.
but listen, you know, they've been to every Sweet 16 since 2016. No other team's done that. You act like this is a failure just because they've not won the national championship.
It's not. I get where he's coming. I get where he's coming from because at a point, it's like, yeah, this is fun. But let's go win a national championship. Sweet 16s, whatever. That's all well and good. But if you're going to be an elite school, eventually you have to win that national championship.
Is that the expectation for Gonzaga at this point?
I mean, they won't be a blue blood. No, it's not. Blue don't change. So,
yeah, but
could they be a Villanova? That's their best.
That's what the goal is.
And Villanova only has one.
But every
team is
going.
Did you say they only have one?
Doesn't Villanova have one?
Villanova's won three national championships.
Okay, but I mean recently.
Recently they have two.
Okay, they got two.
They won two in 3 years.
Is there a team whose goal is not to win the national championship? If St. Peter's can get the Elite Eight, everyone can get to the Elite Eight.
But I'm going to talk about, like, realistic goals.
Okay.
Like, Western Kentucky, your realistic goal, make the NCAA tournament.
But Gonzaga's a mid-major, just like WK, the same status, except we're a bigger school.
But it's who they're getting, the recruits they're getting, the expectations preseason.
You can't say they're the same status when Gonzaga's ranked top five preseason every single year, or they're ranked number one throughout the season every single
year.
That's not the same. That's not the same status. You said they're the same status as Western. That it doesn't work like that.
They have the same amount of resources as Western.
What is the last number one team? Like, even before Gonzaga was number one every year, who was the last number one team to actually win it after being a preseason number
one? Yeah, nobody.
I don't think anybody's ever done it. It's parody, like Nick said, and that's why we love it. It's who plays well at the right time, and they play well throughout the entire season, but they can never get over that wall, and that's something they're going to have to get over, but it doesn't mean they're a failure of a program.
Absolutely not.
And nobody's really saying that here.
I'm not saying they're a failure of a program. I'm just saying
that's just
this season.
Their expectations. Yes.
Like, would it make you happier if they weren't like a one seed? If they were making the Sweet 16 all the time as a two seed or three seed?
Yeah. Like Loyola Chicago.
Would that make it feel
like
better?
All these runs that they go on, like,
so it's,
they're not expected, so it makes it better.
Yeah.
But
it's just because
they're
a one, it's why
year.
People get mad. They're a consistent one seed. If they were a two or three and they made the Sweet 16 8 straight years or whatever, they'd probably be
that's probably like wouldn't be an issue. I don't think anybody like gets upset at Villanova. No. Nova's never a one seed, and they go far pretty much every. It's either they go to the Final Four or they're out in the round of 32. There's no in between with Villanova.
It's kind
of
true.
But to Gonzaga's credit, look, they're still a mid major. When's the last time a true mid major won a national championship? Unless you want to count the AAC with UConn.
I mean, I don't really count like teams like UConn, Villanova.
I don't
those.
Either. Well, Villanova's not a mid-major. They're a Power 5 team, despite what Caden somehow thinks.
I mean, it's technically not, but
yeah, they're
I understand.
Not a there's no such thing
they're
as
basically
Power 5
a blue blood. Oh, which is
Power 5 is based on how much money you get and how big the school is. Yeah. That is what the Power 5 is.
Power 5 is a football
Power
term.
Power 5
is
a football term. Exactly.
It is not a basketball
term. It's a made-up term, so it could be made up for anything. It doesn't matter.
All right, well, let's move on. Villanova did beat Michigan. They look good,
but
there's an asterisk next to it because they did lose one of their best players to a torn Achilles today.
Yeah.
Today, but he tore it. A few nights ago,
Saturday, yeah.
But it came out today that he officially tore it, which
and
is
you knew it was if you seen the video, you know what it was.
Yeah, I mean, we knew he wasn't going to play in Saturday's game, but you were just kind of hoping that it wasn't a long term effect, which it is. And Achilles is, I would say, the most devastating injury if you
ACL.
Fully tear it.
You say an ACL?
I would say Achilles is worse than an ACL.
Achilles
yeah.
worse.
It's so much harder to come back
longer,
from.
Especially now with all the stuff.
But
it depends. If you're Zion, an ACL is probably worse.
Anyway, so we wish the best for him. But Villanova, not that they're out completely, because you can never count Villanova out, no matter who's playing. But it definitely hampers them.
You can't rely on Colin Gillespie to produce all the offense for that team. I mean, they were in a barn burner in the Elite Eight. We'll talk about it here in a second. But yeah. I mean, they're going to have to find somewhere else to, produce points. And hopefully they'll be able to because I want them to win it at this point. Yeah. But, yeah. Duke over Texas Tech, that was a great game. I loved watching
that
game.
And I know Mike's big on Texas Tech, was big on Texas
Tech. Yeah, I think this was a pretty – I mean, Texas Tech rebounded this a lot better than I thought they were going to because, I mean, their tallest players, like, that consistently play are 6'8".
Yeah.
And they were able to get boards consistently with Mark Williams and Paulo. But – Paulo played excellent in this game, like second half especially.
Well, you knew the game was over when Texas Tech, for like the last 3.5 minutes maybe, they weren't running their offense. They were just playing iso ball the whole time, trying to like barge their way into the paint and kick it out. And it just wasn't working. And at that point, you knew the game was over.
Well, and people think that size is a product of rebounds, but it's really the mentality. Because you could have the tallest player out there.
Talk about Houston.
Yeah, Zach Edey and Jamario Sharp, we're talking about two tallest players in college basketball, they probably average less than 10 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, it could be minutes, but Jamario Sharp played 35 minutes a game. So it's about, will and who wants to get the ball. But that's kind of how it was with St. Peter's. I mean, we're going to talk about them in a second, but –
Let's go ahead. And St. Peter's over Purdue, 67-64. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you have the two tallest players out there for Purdue at sometimes one time, and they still can't get the job.
I told Will this.
What a colossal failure.
Matt Painter needs to be launched into the sun.
You had a week to prepare for this. Same thing for John Calipari. You all had a week to prepare for this.
Like, St. Peter's tallest player is 6'8".
Yep.
And
Purdue has a 7-4 center who is a
And you have Travion Williams, who was a pretty was good the, center in himself.
That,
but
was,
he played
that was the problem, though, is they kept trying to get it to Edie when it's like that's not their offense. That's not what they do. They were like, he's bigger. We're just going to throw it to him and give him a lot of touches, and he just wasn't good. And then so it wasted a lot of possessions just trying to force him the ball.
Jaden Ivey did not play well.
Well, and then at the very end, Painter, Jaden Ivey saved me. He played terrible, and then he just expects him to all of a sudden take over. This, Matt Painter is
doesn't like him apparently.
I used to. This is such a colossal failure on his part.
It's Purdue basketball for you. I mean, they're the greatest regular season team in the Big Ten.
Big Ten basketball.
It's Purdue basketball.
Big Ten. And the SEC is going to be fun to watch in the Final Four this year.
They got farther than the Big Ten.
If we're basing it off of tournament success,
ACC is
the Atlantic Coast Conference, still the best conference out there. Come on.
Four teams got in and three made the Elite Eight.
I don't think anybody's disputing that.
Everybody said it was terrible all year. Everybody said ass Duke and everyone else. Who cares?
Either way. Even what that's the problem is like even ACC's down year is still two teams in the final four.
Still better than any other. Yeah.
But the final four is set in stone. It's a bunch of blue bloods is what it is. You've got Kansas, North Carolina, Duke, and the rematch of Duke and North Carolina should be a good one.
I heard they've never met in an NCAA tournament.
Nope, they've never have.
Disney Channel wrote this
very
script.
Surprising.
but I mean, who's going to write North Carolina playing that well in the tournament?
Oh yeah, they've been dominating. On a tear. About these past few days. Villanova beat Houston 50-44. Duke beat Arkansas last night 78-69. Kansas beat Miami. I wrote this before the final scores. I know they won by like 20.
Yeah.
Which 76-50, and then North Carolina won 69-49. I mean, in that Kansas and Miami game, Miami was winning at halftime.
They flipped
and
the
then
switch.
Kansas just decided to play first team all defense throughout the whole game. Yeah. Takeover was turned on. I mean, it was just bad.
I
in
think
the
it was
half.
A 40 something to 15 second half. Mm-hmm. Which
it was like each half was a separate game.
If you lose a half by 30, you're probably not going to win. That's just my take.
47-15 in the second half.
Yeah. So obviously that's not going to be a recipe for success. But Miami did have a bigger than expected run. So like, how can you judge that game?
I think it was their first Elite Eight. I think it's
in Miami history.
It was a great year for them.
So for them, it's good, but for Kansas, it's they took care of business finally in the second half.
McGusty, I know Mike tweeted about McGusty. I should have said it's a missed opportunity for you to say McGutsy.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, he was hooping.
Yeah, he's first half. He gets buckets. He played so well in the whole tournament.
Shout out to Miami, but Kansas. Defensively, you didn't really see this all year, which was they're. Man for man, they can lock up anybody.
Kansas is playing
at each position
very well right now.
I think what's really helped them is Remy Martin is actually finally showed up.
Yeah, where has that been all season? I mean, that guy has been non-existent for the entire year. He was a good player at Arizona State.
Yeah, he was 20 a game.
But it just did not translate for the first part of the year, and it finally has.
And David McCormick showed up in the second half. Yeah. I mean, he just took over the first 7 minutes of the game.
And they
got
guys. Think about this. This is their best run, and they're doing it without Abaji playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, today was his first decent game of the tournament.
There's one guy on Kansas I used to
Jalen
not
Wilson.
Be able to stand him. I like Jalen Wilson. I used to hate Christian Brown.
Oh.
He's become one of my favorite players to watch. He's a difference maker for them. He really gets them because he hit a deep three and then he got the dunk afterwards. He's been a big difference maker.
That game should be interesting between it's two defensive. I mean, minded teams, which is
probably
the last four games for Villanova, it feels like. I mean, Villanova's, I don't know if they scored over 60 in one game. Maybe the first one, that they played. But that should be an interesting one between Kansas and Villanova. It's who's going to hit more shots at that point because defense can only take you so far.
And Duke over Arkansas. I mean, it was close for probably the first 30 minutes of that game, and then Duke just took over towards the end.
Arkansas was, like, hanging on, like, by a thread, and then it didn't take much for
But that's
for
what
Duke
happens when you
thread.
Run 70% of your offense through one player. J.D. Notte is basically that whole team. Like, they shouldn't – I mean, it's worked for them thus far, but obviously it wasn't going to carry them to the Final Four if they kept playing like that, and that's what lost it for them.
And Duke is also just – they're built for success right now, which is you have a star player, you have a 7-foot-1 center who can run, jump, and block shots, and then you have role player guys like Jeremy Roach, who's playing well this tournament, which you would not expect.
I mean, they bring Keels off the bench now. Was he a 5-star? I mean, yeah. To come off the bench, that's
he's
pretty
a 5-star football player. I mean, he had a good first game, but he hasn't played well the rest of the season. But, I mean, guys like Wendell Moore, who had improved this year, he's not really playing well, but they don't need him to.
Well, AJ Griffin has been
he's been superb so far throughout this tournament. And I think
throughout the season, really.
And this tournament has shown that the mid-range shot is so important for a team. I know it's mainly about the NBA, but you know, people talk about, oh, the mid-range shot's dying, blah, blah, blah. No. You see the team right now with the best mid-range shooting is the one who's probably gonna win this tournament.
Even in the NBA, it's not that though. Like, I know we don't have time much to talk about this, but like, you think of DeMar DeRozan, he dominates the mid-range, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, like all these guys that are big-time players, they dominate the mid-range.
Sean Livingston.
You can say it's dead.
Yeah, you're right. He was a legend.
From 2015 to 2018.
He never missed. I never saw him miss a mid-range.
But it's definitely not dead. But we talked about it before. The NCAA tournament is dominated by guard play. And if you have better guards, you're most likely going to win. So we'll see what happens throughout this tournament, the rest of the Final Four, but...
Yeah, so we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NBA. A lot of going on right now. So keep it here on Red Zone Radio on Revolution 91.7.
Keeping you up to date on Western Kentucky sports, you're in the Red Zone right here on Revolution 91.7. I get knocked down.
Welcome back to Red Zone Radio on Revolution 91.7. The NBA. Well, first, let's just talk about the first thing.
What's going on right now?
Kyrie Irving is able to play home games once again for the Nets.
Right. Which is big. New York has passed a law
New York's a joke, but anyways.
They passed a law to where
you can play.
Are
we talking about basketball or are you talking about
the
politics?
State.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But the main thing is, and this could be interesting, the play-in, the way – there's about, what, 10 games left, 9 games left?
Somewhere around there.
In the NBA. And the way things are shaping up is that Brooklyn could face Toronto in the play-in at Toronto.
And
which
Kyrie
means Kyrie can't
play
because Toronto still has the protocol still put up there. So there's a chance that Kyrie still can't play in the first game that they play. Obviously, they'll get another crack at it if they lose, but just interesting to unfold there.
If they ended today, the Raptors have escaped at the play-in. They're the 6th. The Cavs are the 7 right now.
Okay.
But, yeah, speaking of the play-in, the Nets and the Lakers will most likely be in the play-in, which is crazy to think about that. Those two teams who should have been, you know, a finals matchup a year or two ago are now about to be in the play-in. So I think that's pretty hilarious
Both teams with injuries and trades that have or have not happened or disappointing players, depending on which side you're looking at.
I just hate that there's a team that's winning percentage is 400 that's going to make the playoffs.
That's how it goes.
Don't think that should happen.
They have over half the league.
Why play the season if half the league makes the playoffs?
Over half.
I think the play-in is dumb. I don't like the play-in. I never liked it from the beginning.
Kept it at 8 teams and then do a play-in.
What?
I think it should be
with
6.
Like 6
flat out.
The 6 teams? Like the 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, I think so.
Or like even the 7 and 8? I'm
a wild card.
It doesn't really matter.
8 was too many.
Because
8 was too many teams to be
but
in.
But see, that will never happen because a lot of this is, even though it's already set, it's to make money.
Oh,
it's
all about money.
Revenue.
It's all about
so that's
money. That's why you play
about
7 games with the 1-8. We all know who's going to win that series.
Well, it doesn't happen like that every time. I mean, you'll have once.
It does most of the time. You play 4 basketball games, the best team's
going to win. Yeah, but sometimes the best team is the lower seed. I mean, last year, the Lakers were up 2-1 on the Suns till AD gets hurt, and they were the 7. So sometimes that happens.
Speaking of AD, he'll be back next week too.
Thank God. Hopefully,
we'll see how long he lasts, though.
Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm a Lakers fan. If you didn't know, but yeah. So I mean, I'm just praying. I mean, LeBron's been playing his butt off this year.
Yeah.
Whole team's made of glass.
But yeah. So like I said, the Lakers and Nets, they'll probably be in the play-in. The Suns have clinched the best record in the NBA right now, and the Heat have clinched their division. They're the only two teams to clinch playoff. Well, the
Memphis.
Grizzlies have also clinched a playoff spot. Those are the only three teams who have clinched
credit to Memphis
a spot.
Is playing really well.
And that is why John Morant is my MVP.
Well, and what's interesting is they play just as well without him.
Yeah, that's why he's not the MVP. They're like 15-5 without
please.
Him.
I mean, what were they? They've been the 8 seed for the last 3 years, and they finally jump up. It's the same roster, except a couple of additions. It's the same roster for the most part, and now they're the 2 seed. Ja Morant should be MVP based off that. If we're going off of, you know, I know they changed the narrative or whatever, the criteria every single year. But if I look at who's in front of him right now, Joel Embiid, that team, he's hurt all the time. That team's built for this success. I mean, yes, they wouldn't be as successful without him, but they're still also a team that is built for success. I mean, you have Tobias Harris, who has probably the second most money on that team. You have James Harden now. You have all those guys around there. And before the James Harden trade, you have Seth Curry there. You know, Thibault, he's playing his butt off every single year. That team is built for success. So, in my eyes, Joel Embiid shouldn't be up there. It should be between Jokic and Ja Morant. Those are my top two.
Well, the Jokic is single-handedly carrying a – I mean, think about what that team would be without him. It's pretty abysmal. And then same way with Morant. I mean, you've seen carbon copy what that team does without him, which is an 8 seed, and then what they have with them, which is a 2 seed now. So it's up for debate. I mean, you can go back and forth between the big man slash Jaw. I think those are easily the 3 that are left.
I want to say Devin Booker is also a dark horse in that race.
He's not in the conversation.
Why is he not? Because what it used to be is the best player on the best team.
Right.
That's usually all it was. And now it's become
I still think Devin Booker's hurt by the they never won with them, and they get Chris Paul, and now they're winning, where a lot of people still associate Chris Paul as the leader of that team. And that's, I think, hurts Devin Booker in those awards.
Yeah. I see that, yeah.
But also, I think what hurt Devin Booker is when Russell Westbrook won the MVP being a 6 seed. Like that. Because now it's like anybody can win it as long as you have a great year. And while Devin Booker is having a great year on a great team, that team wouldn't be as bad without him. Like, they would be worse, obviously. But, like, they're still making the playoffs without him.
But that's also, like, that's why I hate the MVP thing. Because it changes every single year.
Yeah, the NBA MVP is a mess.
Yeah, Giannis and James Harden. James Harden twice.
So.
Steve Nash stole Kobe's. Kobe stole Chris Paul's.
And Shaq's.
Oh, my goodness. You know, the Giannis and James Harden one, I always thought James Harden should have been the MVP, but they gave it to Giannis for record, I believe, and just he was also defense.
Yeah.
And then the James Harden and LeBron one, they gave it to James Harden over LeBron because the Rockets had a better record.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just changes every year. I just really don't like how they do that. It's just so dumb.
Also, with that James Harden one, he was like a finalist like 3-4 years in a row. And I think they needed to give it to him.
Yeah. They were like, yeah.
He was second 3 out of the 5.
Yeah,
or something
like that. Let's give it to him for once.
But, yeah, I mean, Will, Mike, I don't know if you all watch the NBA that much, but who do you have as your MVP right now?
Ja Morant. I think he deserves it. I've always been a Ja Morant lover. I think he elevates teams with his ability. And I mean, we saw with the Grizzlies were in the play-in last year, and I think, like, obviously with his emergence this year, he's been just on since the beginning of the year. It's just been.
I love watching him play. I would go for him. He's a team guy. That's why he's a leader, and that's why they're in second place.
I'll
read
Matthew Hargrove.
Grizzlies look like they're having
fun
playing basketball.
They'd be in first place if they were in the Eastern Conference. Well, you know.
Well, the West is, they're going to have at least probably 5 teams that have 50 wins this year. So that's back to the
I'm looking at the spread from the 1 to the 10 in the Western Conference. It's 30 games. The Pelicans are 30 games out of first. And that's credit to Phoenix because they're 60-14.
Yeah, but it's always been the West. Is you could take the bottom tier of the West and throw them in the East, and they probably make the playoffs. So,
well, it's
kind of flipped.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Since LeBron came to the West, it's kind
of
flipped. It seems like the free agents want to go to the East now.
So what should be happening in the NFL pretty soon.
Yeah.
Speaking of NFL, we'll get to that here in a second after this commercial break. You're listening to Red Zone Radio on Revolution 91.7.
Talking all things Tapper sports, you're listening to Red Zone on Revolution 91.7.
The NFL offseason.
Crazy.
Is this the craziest NFL offseason?
It's got to be.
Yes.
It's by far. It happens every year, though. It gets progressively better every year.
When I was, like, literally 5-10 years ago, like, nobody moved. Like, it was like free agency was not a thing. No. Like, you would see like some backups would bounce around, but like starters did not move.
You know what
like,
it was,
especially NBA, before the draft.
LeBron, yeah.
The NBA when the NBA started having crazy free agency. Yeah. That's exactly. I'm pretty sure it was the next year the NFL was like, yeah, we can move around a little bit.
Yeah.
Baseball tried to.
Well, because now the NFL is generating headlines. Like, we're talking NFL. NFL generates headlines in March. So yeah, it's good for the league. But
well, think about it. It used to be in March, it was NCAA tournament, and then it was NFL basketball.
Yeah.
And there was NFL some golf draft in between there. And now it's March and then NFL, and that's it.
And like, yeah.
So
Tyreek Hill traded to the Dolphins, becomes the highest paid receiver ever after Davante Adams had that distinct privilege for a week.
Yeah. So let me go on a quick little rant though, without Will talking. And this is going to be, you can guys talk about it after, but I think obviously the trade happened, whatever. It was a first, a second, and then a fourth, and then a fourth and a sixth for next year. That is a lose-lose trade. Nobody won that trade. The Dolphins didn't win that trade because you have two players that can go downfield without a quarterback that can get it to them. And then you have, and Patrick Mahomes, your best receiver gone. So now Travis Kelce is not going to get those easy targets underneath because there's nobody pushing the field down far except for Mecole Hardman.
TikTok boy.
TikTok boy, Juju Smith. I think both teams lost the trade, and I think Tua's best year should happen this year.
Right.
The only problem is I think his ceiling is a Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins type of player, and I don't think that's good enough for the Dolphins to be a good playoff team.
But see, I don't think the Dolphins lost it because Waddle is on a rookie deal, so he's got four more years, and Tyreek Hill is a four-year deal. You see what you got in Tua. They're still on a rookie deal. He's not paying him anything. If it doesn't work and you're still like, he doesn't impress me, you draft somebody next year, and you still have those guys.
But here's the thing. Tua hasn't been bad in his tenure there. Like, he's played pretty well. He has had a bad team around him. They lost the first seven games last year. Then they go on a seven-game win streak.
How disastrous the front office of that organization.
But what is Tua's ceiling? Let me ask you that. What do you think?
It depends on the team built around him.
He's a middle of the pack quarterback.
Do you think with this team around him, which is the best he's ever had, could he be cracking the top 10 as a quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, no.
He can crack the top 10.
No.
This year, I think he'll put up top 10 numbers.
He's middle of the tier. He's middle, mid-tier.
I'm a little higher on Tua because I think
12 to 15.
He's better than Ryan Tannehill.
No, he's not. No, he's not. It's not even close.
Ryan Tannehill lost.
I think he's better than Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill was the reason the Titans lost.
He's also part of the reason they won. I don't know if you remember this. Derrick Henry was out for six games of the year.
I'm just saying, Tua's had to deal with a lot
They played in, like, the worst division in the history of the
NFL. He also didn't have half his receivers throughout the year. I mean, you can make excuses for anybody, but I don't think
he's that great. He's an average quarterback.
Why do you think Tua's great? Well,
I didn't say he's great. I literally just said Ryan Tannehill is an average quarterback.
But the Ryan Tannehill thing, Ryan Tannehill is what he is at this point. Tua's still a young guy. This is his third year. So, like, let's just see what he can do this year before you immediately cap him at the back 20.
It's that fancy little word, potential.
Yeah.
Can't really measure it.
I don't think Tua has that much more potential than what we've already seen.
That's what I'm saying.
They almost made the playoffs these last 2 years. They're definitely
– But that was defense.
But they also had a defensive coach, which an offensive coach now will help Tua. It's a Kyle Shanahan scheme, elevates quarterbacks. Matt Ryan won MVP.
Running backs.
The only reason they won't win, won't get into the playoffs this year is because the AFC is the most stacked it has been ever.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why they should not make
most
the playoffs.
Most stacked I've ever seen any conference.
They could.
That's AFC West, AFC North, you could just make that the playoffs.
Yeah, probably.
Most likely.
Most likely, yeah.
That's probably what it is.
Because the East, you're going to have one team. And
you look at the North. The Patriots are probably going to regress. They haven't made any moves this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins have made moves, so they're going to probably bump up.
Yep.
It'll be between the Bills and the Dolphins.
Right.
The Bills should
win that
division pretty easily. So then you got the Dolphins winning 10, 11 games, maybe.
Not even.
But see, the only thing that would help them is the Jets and the Patriots, if they can sweep them. Like, in the AFC West, nobody's sweeping anybody.
No.
So in the AFC North, like, nobody's sweeping anybody. So that is what could help them, is they all have a little easier division.
Yeah, that's four wins, but where are the other five coming, six, whatever you talk about?
Well, they'll match up with some NFC conference that they have to do, and they'll play a third-place schedule this year, I think. They were third in their division, so, I mean, it won't be that hard of a schedule.
Bears.
I just don't think – I think with the regression they're going to have defensively, and then on top of that, yeah, you're going to have great schemes with this new guy coming in, but, I mean, when it comes to – push comes to shove, can Tua throw the ball 60 yards down the field for a Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle? I don't think so.
They do have a hard schedule this year. Now that I'm looking at it, they play AFC. They play the AFC.
NFC?
Am I tripping? They play the Bengals division.
AFC North.
Yes, I had to think about it.
Who do they play
in
the NFC?
Killing me.
They
play the NFC North. So
well, that's not bad.
No. You still got the
Packers.
I'm saying that's not too bad. I mean, it's better than pulling the NFC West or something. So it's not.
And then they play the Chargers and then the Niners.
So yeah. it's not great. So you're looking at 8 or 9 wins, which is not a bad season.
Right.
But at least you'll find out what you have in Tua after this year.
But they won 9 games last year.
Right. Yeah. That's the problem is you got better as a team and you're going to get worse because of the people that are around you being the AFC. So I just think for either team, and we'll talk about the Chiefs side because they got worse this offseason.
No. They didn't. How?
They lost Tyreek Hill.
They built up their O-line. Okay, yeah.
That was last year
they did that.
They had the same O-line this year. They're going to have the same O-line.
I'm pretty sure they had off-season signings this year. I'm pretty sure off the top of my head.
But I know their priority last season was to build the O-line, and they've already built it.
They got
worse. So that's done.
And this will be the time to see – can Patrick Mahomes elevate receivers? Yeah. Like, you had Tyreek Hill, you had Travis Kelce. Those are gifts that were given to you when you were young. Now you've gotten paid all this money. Can you make receivers around you better? We'll see if
he can.
Well,
it's not like
they also have a bad read.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the year people like Caden are going to find out that Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the AFC.
Okay. Well, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
Let's not get into that right now.
I'm just saying.
I agree with you,
Juju as your best receiver. You'll see what you can do.
Travis Kelce is the best receiver.
Well,
he's a tight end.
But then you also have a committee, though, because you also have MVS from the Packers that just came in. You have Juju now.
And he has Andy Reid. Which Andy Reid will
see. Nicole Harmon.
He has the best play caller in football.
Yeah. So I'm not saying
they're
going to be bad. I'm just saying they're going to be worse than – I'm not picking them as a lock for the AFC West like I have in the past few
years. But
that's
because the other teams have gotten better. Yeah, they didn't make as many moves.
They also got worse because other people got better.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I've seen it.
I think they got –
Kansas City can also win in the future. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to be here a while. So that's why I think they traded away Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill was money.
That's something that I think is interesting is now the quarterback market's higher than it's ever been, like how much they're getting. Will it become a time where it's like when you pay them, will their teams be so bad because of the money that these quarterbacks are getting? Will it become like – Could a B quarterback be better when you can actually pay a team to surround them than an A?
No, quarterbacks win Super Bowls.
Teams
win playoff
games. But it's finally starting to reach that point where Tua's getting surrounded with a lot of help.
Let me know when Kirk Cousins wins the Super Bowl, Mac, and then we'll talk about it. But
we'll see.
Derek Carr might.
No,
there you go.
Derek Carr might.
Matt Ryan
should have
won the Super Bowl if Kyle Shanahan didn't get uber conservative. Yeah.
Okay. Either way,
just saying.
You can say that about Jimmy G. I mean, he lost to Patrick Mahomes because he can't throw the ball down the field. But the problem is, I think the Chiefs will win this long term. I will say that because you're not paying a speed receiver who's almost 30 years old, 72 guaranteed, and then you still have your quarterback for the future. And with serviceable weapons around him.
And to what Nick said real quick, I'm not going to pick Josh Allen over for the guy who just got to the Super Bowl. The league MVP a couple years ago, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes, who has gotten to the AFC Championship in every single year that he started. So, yes, I'm not going to pick Josh Allen as the best receiver in the AFC.
Accolades,
thank you very much.
Accolades.
Choke. Lose. I'm not hearing it.
I think we're also underestimating the loss of Tyrann Mathieu, too.
Yeah, which is massive to the Chiefs.
They did get Justin Reed, which is nowhere near the same, because Tyrann Mathieu could do almost anything on that defensive side.
One of the leaders of that team.
Yeah, but let's not act like the defense was good when he was there. I mean, they were better, but they were never a good defense.
Yeah, real quick, Baker Mayfield is still not getting.
Honestly, I don't think he's going to get traded.
He's not. Because
Watson could get suspended. And
Brissett.
Baker wants like 45 mil.
Well, here's the thing.
He's never going to get that.
They have to trade him because, see, if Baker was a grown-up, this would be a great scenario. You know Watson's going to get suspended. I don't know how long. Nobody does. But he will most likely get suspended. So if Baker was a grown-up, it'd be real nice to say, okay, we can, you know, win 4 of these games. We'll keep Baker, but he's not. So.
He could have got 30 mil, but he turned it down. So he wanted more money. So this is his fault.
Yeah.
They went out and got a better quarterback.
30
their backup,
year?
Yes.
Good Lord, that's insane for a guy like him.
They wanted okay, they went and got out Jacoby Brissett, who was a better quarterback than Baker Mayfield was last year. So why would they keep him? Yeah. And they asked for a first for Baker. Well, nobody's gonna trade the Browns a first. Well, then they went down and said, okay, we don't want a first anymore. And nobody still wants Baker Mayfield.
This is the problem with Baker. This is his fifth year option, so he could have taken that. And the problem is he's had a good year his rookie year, a bad year his second year, a good year his third year, which was a really good year, and then a horrible year his fourth year. He's on pace, by statistics are showing us, a decent year for his fifth year. Yeah. Wait till that year to get paid. Because the last thing we remember from Baker is an injured Baker Mayfield that couldn't throw the ball. Because it's always what they remember you last for. Yep. Which is why...
Well, that's why he wanted to get paid.
Which is why Will remembers Ryan Tannehill as a bad quarterback because of that one game. Yeah. The reason we think Baker Mayfield's a bad quarterback is because of the last five games that he had where he was injured. I think he'll be better than what we were expecting. He's still not a great quarterback. Right. But I think he missed out on a big payday because he rushed it a year early.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we come back, take a quick break. We'll talk about the Final Four. Keep it here on Red Zone Radio on Revolution 91.7.
Talking all things Tapper sports, you're listening to Red Zone on Revolution 91.7.
Welcome in to the final segment on Red Zone Radio. All right, the Final Four, Duke versus North Carolina, Villanova versus Kansas. I feel like I said at the beginning of the show, I feel like Disney Channel wrote this script.
The storybook ending.
I mean, my goodness.
Well, considering after last year, was it last year? Where there was no Blue Bloods basically in the tournament?
Gonzaga, Baylor, UCLA.
Yeah, yeah.
But UCLA. It was UCLA. Like no Duke, Michigan. No Carolina, yeah, no Kentucky. Like all those teams were bad. It's kind of a rewrite history with bouncing back. So we can blame it on COVID for sure. And then... to say the Blue Bloods are back is kind of nice because you got four teams legitimately that I think can win the tournament. And last year in the Final Four, I couldn't say that. So that's kind of nice.
Duke versus North Carolina, they went 1-1 in the season against each other. I mean, North Carolina spoiled Coach K's final home game in Cameron. So, you know, that's going to be talked about for the next however many days
we'll
it is.
We'll see if
until
Coach K shakes hands if he wins because I'm sure he will.
So, I mean, I think this game is probably going to be one of the most important games in that history, probably the most important game in the history of Duke versus North Carolina.
Because, like I said,
it's the first time they've ever met in the tournament,
and it's a Final Four,
and it's also the final time you'll see those two play with Coach K at the helm. So it's like, what do they remember you last for? If Coach K loses, they'll remember you last for losing twice to Carolina in the last two games. If not, then
and the most
storybook ending.
And the most disappointing part about these matchups is they'll be on TBS.
It's still, I mean, everything's owned by Turner, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they're all, it's just flopping
trade-off.
Around.
They've done this alternation for
still gonna
15
have
years.
Good, who's calling that, by the way?
They have
Jim Nance, Raftery.
Okay, so it's still the CBS crew. It's just on TBS.
They have a deal, I think, every however many years.
Just
they have to put
TBS.
It on TBS.
I don't, it should be on CBS every year, but the Super Bowl should also be on NBC.
Why not just do it on both? I mean, you can. I don't
they usually
that.
Do telecast, right? They do like a
fan podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think it's to just help TBS get their ratings for the next couple of years. Yeah.
Well, because think about it. Cause
and Practical Jokers carries. What are you talking
that's
about?
That's why. Well, that's not on TBS. So, but
it is on True TV.
But True TV first four.
Well,
that's
all
their only source of ratings.
Right.
Pretty much.
Well, not only that, but like if Super Bowl did it at Fox with better commentators.
Yeah.
Then it would.
They'll have to. Have
it'd be the same way.
They're not there now. So
wait a minute. Okay, this is so off topic, but now that Buck is gone and Aikman's gone, the Super Bowl's on Fox this year. We're going to have the worst Super Bowl
Gus
ever.
Gus Johnson, baby. Gus Johnson.
Please put Gus Johnson on.
Wait, didn't they get Herb Street to switch over to Fox?
He's on
Amazon.
Amazon, which is Monday Night Football.
Amazon?
What?
They're doing the Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Wait,
then
it's Thursday. That's Thursday.
I thought it was
Thursday.
Because Joe Buck left.
Is Thursday not owned by Fox?
Because Monday is still ESPN.
It used to be.
Which is no longer Levy and them because Joe Buck went there. But we're still going to watch the Manning cast anyway, so who cares?
Politics. But, we'll just get everybody's picture real quick. We'll first start with Villanova versus Kansas. Obviously, Villanova's going to be a man down. Kansas is probably looking its hottest that it's been for most of the season. Who you got? We'll go around everybody. Mason, who you got?
For the Duke-UNC game, I just think it's too storybook for Coach K to just ride this one out. Last year, they lost in the ACC championship, and then they come back and beat them to go to the championship. I don't know. It seems too Disney for me, but I'm going to go with Duke on that one. And then I think Kansas is going to take it over Nova.
Okay.
Matt?
I'm also going to go with Duke. I think that's just – what is interesting is both these teams, I think, are peaking right now. And I honestly think whoever wins this game, I would take to win the title.
Yeah.
But I would take Duke, and then I'm going to also take Kansas.
Will, go ahead.
I'm going to do the same, Duke and Kansas.
Good Lord.
Mike.
I'm going to take Duke and Kansas, and I'm going to get this off my chest. In the championship, Duke will play Kansas, and they will get their sweet revenge for the robbery that they endured in 2018 with Wendell Carter the worst block charge call ever.
Well, I forgot about that.
Block and charging calls are the worst in college basketball. And you know, I tweeted earlier today, I hate the charge call because they call everything a charge in college basketball.
That's what Jay Billis hates.
Yeah. You're moving, and they'll call it a charge. It's so stupid.
Because position, you're right to your position or whatever. They're helping out the defense, I guess, but they're trying to not be the NFL.
Villanova, Duke. I'm staying with my picks. Into the road for North Carolina, although I don't think that's going to be as cut and paste as everyone saying Duke's winning. I'm worried, but I'm going to go for my buddy, my roommate, Jamar. Lifelong Duke fan.
Boo.
Since 2010.
Ryan. I'm going to take – I do think Kansas is peaking at the right time. And I guess I'll take Duke. I'm not confident at all in it. I think they can't beat them twice in a row. But I do think Kansas will win the tournament.
Three of the four teams in this tournament I hate left. So I'm going to have to go with North Carolina. My father is a North Carolina fan, so you know, and Hubert Davis is a great coach. So I would love nothing more.
I mean, to think about it, your first ride as a head coach, and you get to the Final Four. That's pretty impressive. Whether it is with Roy Williams guys or not, it is still impressive.
It feels good if you're in North Carolina and like administration or something. You're like, okay, this guy can coach.
Well, everybody was coming for his head earlier in the season, like, oh, he should be fired after 1 year.
As if Roy Williams didn't have the worst year last year.
So I'm going to choose North Carolina. I just want K to lose and be sour on his way out.
Oh, my God.
And then I would love for Villanova to beat Kansas and for those two teams to meet up in the championship. And that's where I'm going to go.
We got to pick winners now.
Who
because
would be your
champions? We'll do it next Monday.
Wait, we can do a show next Sunday.
Sorry. Yeah. That's Saturday, Sunday. Saturday, Sunday. Yeah.
Tripping. I forget. I think everybody chose Duke and Kansas for the most part, except me, I think. And then Nick chose Villanova.
Everybody wants to,
Stop trying to be right all the time, guys. Have some fun. Anyways, thank you for tuning in.
I think it's the irony.
Yeah.
I've won Pick'em's 3 years. I'm not tripping. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Red Zone Radio. It's been a fun night. Thank you all. Thank you, Mason, for your first show. You'll be on here many times.
Man.
Yes. Thank you. For myself, Ryan Gooden, Mike Stanford, Nick Brake, Will Gerber, Magrisano, and Mason Fletcher. Everybody have a great night. And as always, go Tops.